Message today, just in the presentation, the putting it together, everything. But the song service, hopefully, you'll probably get more out of the song service than you will the message. Pray not. But we're talking about God's gifts. And last week we looked at the good gifts that God gives us in many different ways. And this week we're looking at the free gift that God has given us. And so just pray that, there's a lyric in the song that we sang that it's all because of Jesus that I'm alive. And that's not just talking here and breathing, but it's talking about being a functioning Christian here on earth. We have all sorts of people that roam this planet that with no thought in mind for tomorrow, let alone today, let alone how to please the Lord. And it's all because of Jesus that we're alive. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. So what I've been doing for this month, as you see with our the gifts from God, and so as I said, last week we looked at good gifts that even those around us can share with us that come through God. Looking today at the free gift, and if we're going to, starting when I pick a topic and I decide here how we're going to do this or how we're going to go through it, obviously gifts is our common theme this month, and this free gift. And so, obviously this is probably one of the most popular passages that when we talk about the free gift comes to mind is Romans 6:23, and we'll look at that here in just a second. But there's only one other portion of text that refers to the free gift, and that's just in the chapter prior to Romans 6. And so most of all of our information that we're going to be looking at today will be out of Romans 5 and Romans 6. Kind of setting that up and talking about that, and I hope that we just come to a better appreciation for this free gift and what it involves for us. But at the same time, I want to share as we go through the lesson how the world has twisted it to make it say something that the Bible doesn't say. And so I really want to, in the story of the Trojan horse, the phrase is, beware of those come bearing gifts. Well, when we are so grateful for the free gift that we have in Jesus Christ, but we live in a world where people will mutilate and torture that free gift for their own benefit, or I almost have to say that it's because they're misled by Satan and it's for Satan's own benefit, really. Anyway, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. From a familiar hymn that we'll hear a little more from later as we close out the service. But it's a reminder to us that this free gift comes to us at a cost. We say it's free. Well, it's free to us, okay? Not necessarily to the one giving the gift. And so we tie in that portion of him with this verse and to discuss the things that we want to share this morning. This free gift, and it's going to seem a little awkward at first, but so one man brought death into the world, and one man brings life into the world. Adam's gift to the world, this is the one that you don't want to receive, that's death. That's death. That's what Adam gave each and every one of us. Everybody together say, thank you, Adam. Right? Because of that, we can all die. Right? Now, Christ is the giver, and his ultimate gift is life. And so I want to, as we look into this portion of Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 17, I want to share this with you. First, looking at Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay, and so as we look at that, that's one of those. There's many times when we read scripture, as you read it, at least when I do, you read through it and you're like, oh, I have no idea what that's saying. And you have to read it and reread it and think about it and see how it is. And this, just even this, this says, therefore, just as through one man's sin entered into the world because of what Adam did, okay, then death came into the world. And so death spread to all men. Why? Because Adam sinned? No, because all sinned. And that's a very important thing for us to learn here and to understand, that you die because you sin. Now, I don't want to just jump ahead and say, well, everybody that dies sinned, because I don't believe that's true. And we'll get into that as we go through as well. And I believe that if you stop and think about it, you know those in your life that never sinned and yet still died. It is from this passage that the doctrine of original sin comes into play. In other words, you may have heard the phrase or the name Saint Augustine from the Roman Catholic Church. I'll just refer to him as Augustine or Augustine. In the 5th century, he used this text and said, because of Adam, sin entered the world. So we have sinned because Adam sinned. We have sinned because you sinned. I have sinned because I sinned. Okay? What came into the world because Adam sinned? Death. See, we just got to make sure we understand what Scripture's saying and not have it twisted. No doubt, because of Adam's sin, physical death was passed on. But Calvinists today, and that's what those that believe this, those that believe the words of Augustine, believe in the transmission of sin. I believe we see passages in Scripture that says the soul that sins shall die, right? But one thing we have to look at that too, and we're looking at this, so when it talks about death, and this is a interesting thing that we as Christians need to have the concept of, we talk about death with the world, they think about our body coming to an end and no more. In the life of a Christian, that doesn't bother me so much. Quitting breathing doesn't get me too excited one way or the other. But the death that separates us from God, the second death, that one, something that I try to engage just about every time I present the gospel, because that's the one that'll keep us away from Him for all eternity. So Calvinists today, along with Augustine, believe in the transmission of sin, that man is doomed from birth. That's why they baptize babies. And so they would only do that if, and we all know that they come to call that, you know, the original sin. Paul is simply showing that from one act of Adam, sin comes forth, and from one act of Jesus, sin is conquered. Now, again, do we die because Adam sinned? We are no more going to die because Adam sinned than because are we automatically saved because Jesus gives us life. We have to do our part in that. We do our part in sin, right? We don't even have to stop and think about that. We do our part when it comes to sin. Jesus and Adam had already done his part. Jesus now has done his part in life, and so shall we. We need to do our part then in coming to him. Some say Paul is teaching that if one does not sin, then one will not die. This is what I referenced earlier. This is not true. Because of the sin of Adam, all die. And so when we talk about this, we're not told that man dies because man sins. What about those that never sin and still die? Have we thought about this then? Have we had babies and infants that have never sinned, that died? That kind of goes against the doctrine they're trying to promote, isn't it? Now, death entered the world because of one man. Not because you sin. That's the second death that we're trying to stay away from. So let's read more in the text of Romans chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, and then discuss. It says, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Now, the Jews loved this, right? Because they'd even say, well, so before Moses, no sin. And see, what they were looking at was just the law given. God has given law to set this world in order. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come." Remember, Adam is referred to as the first Adam, and the second Adam is who? Jesus. But the free gift is not like the transgression. So there, if you're thinking I've wandered from my text, I assure you that it was not the intention. It's all here. And actually, this is the laying the groundwork for that verse that we started off with to help us understand. "But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification." So not only did, and we'll finish up verse 17, but not only did Jesus die so that Adam's sin could be forgiven, because of all transgressions, Jesus has died so that we may all be forgiven. Now, because Jesus did that for all mankind, doesn't mean that all mankind immediately receives salvation. When we say, and this is where we on this side of the cross have to look at it, when we say because Adam sinned, he died, what do we mean by that? As soon as he ate of the fruit, did he die? So are we talking a physical death, or are we talking a spiritual death? Yeah. Did the spiritual death happened immediately. And when we say that, when we say the spiritual death, we'll say, because as we've said before, when we talk about salvation, when we are obedient to Christ, we share in the gift of salvation, right? But at the same time, we are waiting the end when we shall share in the coming of his salvation. So there's like two parts to that salvation. There's also two parts to that death. We're separated from God, and eventually he died physically. It was up to him and the provision then that God made in the Old Testament on how Adam would be saved. God provided, if we remember, to cover his sin. If we want to learn anything that between in this lesson, between Adam and between Jesus, is that our sins were covered as Adam's were, but our sins, or I should say of old, their sins were covered as Adam's were, but on this side of the cross, our sins are washed away from what Jesus did. There's a big difference to covering something up and washing it away. Anyway, so as we get down to verse 17, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So here's what we could do. We could sit around, and this is kind of what Augustine was doing, sit around and cry about spilled milk or broken eggs. Right? We had a problem. That problem is sin. He wants to go ahead and assume that now everybody is going to, because Adam sinned, everybody's going to sin. No. You sinning has nothing to do with Adam. It's got to do with you. And as Josh shared at communion, many times our relationship with the Lord or our relationship with one another. And so as we look at that and we think of the death and the separation that come about because of Adam, we so many times, and I think we use it as a cop-out. I was talking with a gentleman the other day about this very thing, and we'll say, you know, we like to use the phrase, well, you know, everybody does it, or we all sin and fall short. Well, just because we all do doesn't mean you have to run willingly to do it. I guarantee you, we will fall short because we're not perfect in all of our thoughts and all of our ways, as is our Lord. But at the same time, we make that choice. No matter, and we'll say, well, I'm a good person. Well, I'm here to let you know, this room is full of good people that sin. So now how good are you? Oh, we're righteous. Oh, really? Because Scripture says, who is righteous? No, not one. This free gift message is really making you feel good, isn't it? But I want for us to understand what it took. That it wasn't for the good, it wasn't for the great, it wasn't for the pure, it wasn't for the holy, it was for the sick, the defiled, the messed up person's life that Jesus died for. And that's us. Did I finish reading 17? Thanks. At least Brandon was paying attention. Paul defends the point that Adam's sin brought death. Sin claims physical and spiritual death. This is Adam's curse to all mankind. God's blessing is eternal life for those that desire it. Amen? Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I hear people say, that verse just says it all. Because of that, I'm saved. No, because of that, you have the opportunity to be saved. This is Adam's curse to all mankind. God's blessing is eternal life for those that desire it. That is the gift of Jesus to all mankind. He talks of the time before the law. Imputed is a financial term for having been entered into a ledger. God keeps this account. Remember, we were talking about the books in Revelation there a couple chapters back, or just the last chapter back. God keeps this account, not man. And so it doesn't matter if we walk in and say, boy, they look like they got a lot of work to do. It doesn't matter what you think. It looks like they really got it going on for Jesus. It doesn't matter what you think. God's the one keeping the ledger. God's the one that's writing these things down. God's the one that puts your name in the book. God's the one that blots your name out. Before the law, rules were being broken. But wait, what rules? If there was no law, you couldn't break rules, right? So see, and this is where their problem was by laying all this on the law of Moses, on what took place at Sinai. So how do you explain what Adam and Eve did? How do you explain what Noah did? This is all pre-law. In the patriarchal era, God spoke to men like Noah. Noah not being perfect, Noah even sinning, was declared by God's man in the New Testament, Peter, as a preacher of righteousness. Well, what righteousness? Remember, this is pre-law. This is pre-Moses. This is pre... So what righteousness? Well, we have to ask then, what sin? The world was destroyed because of wickedness. Just like pre-law, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of wickedness. The Jews thought if there was no law, then there was no sin. Wouldn't that be nice? You know what happens if you have no law? Anarchy. Anarchy. And I'll prove that because even we like to say that, well, I become a Christian and I'm free from sin. Free from death. But Scripture tells us something else. And we'll hold on as we get there. The Jews thought if there was no law, then there was no sin. Man is destroyed because of sin, because man destroyed God's law, even if it was pre-Moses. Through one man, Adam's sin was made known. The same can be said through one man, Christ, that salvation is made known. Now, Adam, and in his sin, brought about death. However, it's the choice that you and I both make to sin that brings about the ultimate death then, unless we have that redeemed by Jesus. So death entered the world by one man. Sin came into your life because you chose. And yet, salvation comes to all mankind by who? By one man. And one only, through Jesus Christ. See how death entered the world by Adam. Sin entered by our choice, each of us. Adam made his choice, we made ours. But yet salvation only comes through one guy. We want to see the Father in heaven one day? And the only way that happens is through Jesus Christ the Son. It's the only way it happens. The death of Jesus overturned the consequences of Adam's universal sin of physical death and personal sin. The application of Christ's gift is conditional, and that we've talked about that today already. If you so desire. The difference between what Adam did and what Jesus did is that the first is condemnation, and through the second we have justification. And not our own justification, but justification that comes through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Adam's sin brought about first spiritual death and then ultimately physical death. Jesus' righteousness brought about eternal life. The condemnation here is physical death. The act is righteousness, speaks of the verdict of acquittal. It is the same word as justification. Justified, never sinned. That's how we look at it. Sin seems to increase under the law because more awareness of right and wrong came about. Right? So was there, you know, more sin before or after Sinai and the Ten Commandments? Yeah, I mean, sin is sin. Unrighteousness is unrighteousness. Wickedness is wickedness. And so, as we said, sin seemed to increase. Doesn't mean that it did. It seemed to. Why is that? Because if you've got rules and you know people are going against them, then you can point that out, obviously. With every new rule, we have another chance to become a rule breaker. Right? The law increases guilt, not righteousness. The law does not make us holier. Remember, even Paul talked about that. If it weren't for the law, I wouldn't even know what sin was, Paul says. The more sin increases, the more grace increases. And that's kind of right in the middle of Romans 5 here where we're looking. And then when we get to the end of Romans 6, because remember, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. Should we, you know, if I sin like crazy, I'm going to get grace like crazy. Right? That's what they were thinking. And I can't say that we're too far from that today ourselves. But we know, may it never be. God forbid. But oh, we are grateful for that grace that covers that sin problem and washes those sins away, aren't we? So then as we bring this to a wrap up here and back to Romans chapter 6. So wages or gifts? Wages or gifts? Which one sounds better to you? Wages or gifts? Right? Those of you that have a business or even, you know, as you work for a company, you're under employment, would you prefer to have gifts or wages? Huh? Gifts? Wages? Right. So which one would you prefer? Romans 6, 22 and 23. Verse 22, and this is where we said we would talk about that later. Here's a little bit later. But now having been freed from sin, we are what? So we're free, right? We're free, right? No, we've just changed masters. And that's the honest way of looking at it. We have changed masters. We've went from sin and its master being freed from that, and we are now enslaved to God. The picture here is not of absolute freedom. That's what we say. When we have absolute freedom and you can do whatever you want, that is called chaos. But it is of freedom from one master that we cannot be enslaved to another master. The Lord talks about this. You cannot serve two masters. You can't have one at this time that does this and one at this time. It doesn't work. Imagine we're under a master. We're under the slave treatment and owned by a master that mistreated, exploited, and abused you. And you know what? And some people run to that relationship. We live in a world that's full of people that do. And that's the taskmaster of sin. That's Satan, the great deceiver. The other master, has purchased us. We were glad to be bought away from that life that we were in, from the mistreatment and the unfairness. Our new master is kind, is generous, is loving, is good, he's fair, he takes care of us. It's like living in the new master's home is what we choose to do, but then still acting like we're living at the old place. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? No, may it never be. Following up verse 22, the rest of it, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Amen? There is no fruit but shame when we sin. So don't ever con yourself into, well, it's the lesser of two evils. It's all evil. There is no fruit but shame when we sin. The fruit of living for righteousness is all the gifts and the blessings of the Lord. The ultimate fruit of slavery to God is then holiness, which not only blesses us, but it praises God. To finish up with the text that we began with. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we have taken note before, sin is the one paying the wages. The clear contrast is that the nature of the wage and of a gift. It is when a slave to sin or the law of a person receives a wage for their sin. You are getting paid for what you've done. A wage is getting what you deserve. The gift is getting something we don't deserve. We did nothing to acquire this. The free gift is only possible in Jesus Christ. We began with the words of a song. We will end this morning with the words of a song. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You're here this morning, you're outside of Jesus Christ. You are a child of Adam, but you don't have to stay that way. You can come and be adopted by our Father in heaven and be a part of the family of God. It starts with being obedient to Him and understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you willing to repent of your sin that the first Adam brought into the world, but the second Adam conquered? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord? We all like to rely on Adam for the idea and the thought of original sin, and we'll blame him, and then we refuse to go to the one that can give us true life. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ. This is where we are dead to the old man and arise to walk in the new man and then live faithfully for Him. Church, I encourage you today to live faithfully for Jesus Christ. He has given us not only the greatest gift, not only a good gift, not only an indescribable gift, but He has given us a free gift that He has paid it all for. All we have to do is reach out, take that gift, and apply it to our life. Will you do that before it's eternally too late? Will you stand?